Raiders is a team that we don't care for.
Something, something, Bronco. With Lord Lattimore Volkner, Jess Place, and Tim Lynch.
Yes, my master.
Get involved in the conversation at milehighreport.com. Incomplete. This is Something Something Broncos. I'm Jess Place. Lori Lattimore-Volkman joins me here on my left. And to my right, Tim Lynch, brought to you today by Lori's yet-to-be-determined horse tracks topic for tomorrow. So we are a few days removed from the Pro Bowl. I got to admit, I had it on. I did not watch religiously. I watched Chris Harris get his interception. Good old Chris, hauled one in. Good for him. So I was very excited, and that was pretty much the extent of what I saw. I did see afterwards that Jason Witten broke the Pro Bowl trophy. So when he went to hand it to Patrick Mahomes, offensive MVP, it just the top came off. And nary a tear was shed. Yeah. Oh, no, the Pro Bowl trophy's broken. Oh.
Broken trophy seems to be fitting for a Kansas City Chief player.
They should call it the Mahomes.
The Mahomes.
I just heard a voice in the back of my head, and it's saying, this is far too much Pro Bowl talk.
This yeah, I didn't watch it. I don't care about it. Move on.
Yeah, so the Pro Bowl, it was on. We watched highlights and a couple plays. So there you go. There you go. One thing that we do have coming up, though, that is noteworthy, this Saturday they are convening in Atlanta to determine which Broncos are going to get totally screwed out of going into the Hall of Fame. Over the years, I've been a little disappointed in the efforts that Jeff has put forward, but maybe this weekend things will be different. And I promise, if we get more than just Pat Bowlen in, I will congratulate you, Jeff Legwold, for all your hard work and effort for this year only. Next year, it's come on again, brother.
It should be a good weekend for Broncos fans, because we pretty much know Pat Bowlen's getting in, and then Champ Bailey is about as close to a lock and for the Hall of Fame as one could get, being mostly a Broncos player for their career. So I'm excited. We'll get two. You know, we've really pushed hard on Steve Atwater. It's just, man, I don't know what is wrong with people, but they just don't seem to see what Hall of Fame greatness looks like when they're wearing orange and blue.
Well, you know what's going to end up happening is they're going to vote, and they're going to be like, Pat Bowlen, and there's one more Bronco on the list. Ty Law has made the Hall of Fame. That's exactly what's going to happen. Champ Bailey is going to get screwed, and they're going to be like, but Ty Law made it.
This isn't the Hall of Very Good. It's the Hall of Great.
Both the contributors will get in because they always do.
That always happens, yeah.
And then the senior candidate will get in. So that's three. And then they have five more. Ed Reed will get in. Tony Gonzalez will
get in. Yeah, two locks, and then Champ's like the third probably lock.
And then what they're going to do, those fuckers, is going to be like, wow, we put in two Broncos, and we already have a safety. So Steve Atwater's going to have to wait. He'll get in. I'm sure he'll get in. Next year's probably his time, and they'll justify it. And it just ticks me off that they don't, that they try to make some sort of rationale why not this year, as opposed to he deserves it. Everything about what he played in this game deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. And he should have been in there already. So regardless of how many Broncos are in, regardless of how many defensive backs are in, he deserves to go this year. And I'm going to be pissed on Saturday when they don't put him in.
Yeah, and that, and we're dealing with media people who don't really, you know, they cover football, but they don't get football. So every time they come to vote, they have the locks, which are usually skill positions, quarterbacks. They're like, oh, there's only two other spots left. We got to get an offensive lineman in or a defensive lineman. It's always like, oh, man, we got to make sure we get,
yeah,
you know, people we don't understand if they're good or not.
Right. And they feel like they have to have some sort of balance between offense and defense. And they just, yeah, it's stupid. They don't really look at it individually like, this guy deserves to be in. I don't like that they have this like arbitrary limit on how many they'll put in. I mean, I can see where you don't put all 15 necessarily, but I don't think they should be locked into five of the monitor.
It should be like more like, it should be more like baseball where, you know, you get a certain percentage of votes.
Yeah.
And you know, if you get that threshold, you're in. That's the only time, by the way, I'll ever advocate baseball over football. Ever.
Here's a really interesting fact. I'm going to name drop here. When I was talking to Patrick Smythe of the Denver Broncos the other day, he pointed this out. Of all of the Broncos who are in the Hall of Fame, and if we go with the true Broncos, the five we have, which are John Elway, Gary Zimmerman, Terrell Davis, Floyd Little, and Shannon Sharp.
Yeah.
All offense. We do not have a single player from the Broncos in the Hall of Fame who played defense, except for Brian Dawkins. But Dawkins is not really a Bronco, you know, not the way the others are Broncos.
Oh my gosh! Okay, you're triggered.
Exactly. The Broncos own the Orange Crush defense. We had back-to-back Super Bowl wins in the '90s, so we, you know, clearly had a defense. We have always had it. Our anchor has been our defense, but it's a travesty. We didn't have a Hall of Famer until 2004, despite going to however many Super Bowls by that time, five or six, despite winning two Super Bowls, despite having a boatload of Pro Bowlers on defense. We have no one from defense in the Hall of Fame.
Well, God damn it.
The Hall of Fame committee, the voters this year, they should look at that and say, the Broncos defense is completely underrepresented. Champ Bailey should be in there. Steve Atwater should be in there. Numbers don't matter. Position, you know, the different positions we have don't matter. We have two players who need to be in the Hall of Fame. Let's put them in this year.
I just did a little research here on the internet, and I'll have you know that the Broncos have the same number of special teamers in the Hall of Fame as on defense.
Zero?
I am actually broadcasting from Peter King's front yard right now. I'm wearing a sandwich board, walking up and down the street. My bullhorn, I sent out my wife to go get new batteries for the bullhorn. That's why you can't hear it right now. It's really cold here, but it's worth it because, you know, damn it, Steve Atwater deserves to get into the Hall of Fame.
Next year we should do more on Randy Gratishar too, because, you know, that's the senior committee guy. And if Champ doesn't get in, we are 100% doing a 24-24.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Anything in the 20s, we did 30 for 30 for TD. Anything under that is doable. But once you get over 30, it's getting to be like, oh boy.
Okay. I know. Oh.
Just remember, though, when it comes to Randy Gratishar, that anyone can petition the Hall of Fame to add him under consideration for the senior committee. All you have to do is write him ahead of time before the senior committee convenes, like in April, or it's March or April or something like that.
So sounds like you've got a task to do.
Sounds like I will republish an article I have published. I got that one in the can. No problem. Done. Speaking of, Lori, Horstract, come up with an idea yet?
All right.
I don't have another scorched earth like Twitter rampage in me. Like every year when it doesn't happen, like I get furious and I at poor Jeff Legwald and he responds.
He hasn't blocked you yet.
I know. Well, you know, after
the one person that should block you hasn't.
Yeah. class. Well, okay, so Hall of Fame. We got Pat Bowlen. Hopefully, Camp, because he's the closest thing to a surefire bet. And then the sentimental favorite is, of course, Steve Atwater. And
I'm pretty sure we're going to yeah, I'm pretty sure we're still – we need to – we're going to be mad about Steve Atwater probably, but we need to remember we're getting two Broncos this year probably. And if we get two, that's freaking huge.
We know Pat Bowlen's going to go in, and that's great. And that will kind of be the peak of the Pat Bowlen era, because it looks like with ownership, things are kind of headed for a roller coaster ride. In the coming months, years, who knows how long. Who do you got there, Laura? You got Beth, you got Brittany, Bill, the dark horse.
Yeah, they're going to go a whole new direction, just hand it over to a brother and be done with it.
Yeah, it's like, and Bill, you win.
Yeah. You or, win. You gave up.
Come your, on down.
Yeah, you gave up your steak, but we're giving it right back to you.
So what happens if, like, none of the kids ever fulfill the requirements? It's just going to be Joe Ellis forever? Like, how does this work there, Lori?
It's interesting that you bring that up. So what we know in terms of the criteria is that Pat Bowlen wanted one of his children, and they needed to have an advanced degree, and they needed to have 5 years' experience in a league office or with the Broncos. So some sort of management position with the team or with the NFL. And neither daughter who has expressed interest in being a controlling owner has met that requirement. Both of them have an advanced degree. Brittany Bowlen just received her MBA from Duke, and Beth Bowlen Wallace earned her law degree from CU Denver.
That sounds right.
CU Denver, I think that's right. A couple years ago. So they both have the advanced degree. Brittany is currently working in a global consulting firm in Denver. So she's not doing anything with the Broncos per se. She did do like 10 months in the league office, and Beth Bowlen Wallace had worked from the timeline, I think it's a little over 3 years, like from 2012 to 2015 as the director of special projects. Her main job with that was to design the display of the Ring of Fame. You know, her dad had instituted the Ring of Fame already, but how to display it so you could see in some meaningful way the tribute to each of the players and coaches who are put into the Ring of Fame, that was her main job at the time. She did the fundraising, basically the development for it. So the fundraising, deciding how it was going to look and where it was going to go and all that. So that was kind of the main thing she did. But she also, part of being the director of special projects, was working with a lot of the charitable foundations that the Broncos partnered with. She says that the day after she told the Broncos that she was going to also pursue a law degree so that she could fulfill that requirement for potential ownership, 24 hours later, they terminated that position. So she no longer had a job, so she couldn't fulfill the 5 years. Brittany just hasn't completed that. I mean, she was working with the league office probably before she went to MBA school at Duke, and she's just doing other things. She's 28 and is probably not interested right now in owning the Broncos. But the trust, which involves Joe Ellis and two other people in the Broncos organization, whose names I'm not going to recall right now. Three people, one of them being Joe Ellis, who of course is our CEO. They were designated several years ago by Pat Bowlen to basically be in charge at the point that he could no longer be in charge. And that was, that decision was put in place back in 2009. So the idea was to put these people in charge of figuring out kind of a path for ownership for one of the Bolin children. Pat Bolin wanted one of his seven children to eventually take over the team. He ended up officially announcing his Alzheimer's diagnosis in 2014, but the year before, in 2013, he had officially stepped down, given control to Joe Ellis and the other trust members, and that was all in conjunction with the NFL. They were aware of what they were doing. It was just announced publicly in July 2014. So, you know, for the last almost 5 years, the trust has been running the team as far as the NFL is concerned, and they have designated Brittany basically as the future heir, just whenever she wants to. So there's no real timeline in terms of what they're saying or what fans will know as to when Brittany would become the owner. And technically, she hasn't fulfilled the requirements yet either. But Beth, who is closer to fulfilling the requirements, is trying to, you know, throw her hat into the ring, and the Broncos are trying to say she's unqualified. And it's basically at the point of being either in the courts to decide whether the trust is following through with Pat Bolin's wishes, or if the NFL is going to get involved and have to arbitrate the situation and decide what to do. So there is no solution as of now. We have two daughters who have expressed interest. We have the team basically putting their weight behind Brittany, who says she's interested, but there's absolutely no timeline for when that will be. And we have possibly the NFL having to get involved and figure out what to do.
Well, isn't it interesting that the person who is farthest away from meeting those requirements are the ones that they're most invested in? It would seem as though Joe Ellis is interested. Job security, like, is there not a younger Bolin heir they could go with that could take even longer? I mean, it's hard for me to believe that Joe Ellis's personal goals align with the goals of the Broncos. Like, if any of us were in that situation, we'd be like, hey, I am de facto owner of the Denver Broncos football franchise. And there is literally nobody that can remove me until I appoint the person who can remove me. Right. So, like, that makes no sense. The longer he can delay, the more he collects a paycheck, the more influence he has over the franchise. And, you know, more power to him, I would be in the same position. But I find it hard to believe that Joe Ellis's personal ambitions and the ambitions of the Broncos align in totally a non-corruption kind of way. I think it needs to be resolved quicker, sooner rather than later. Like you said, Brittany isn't actively working to fulfill the requirements right now. She's not working in a league office. She's not working for a team. And so, I mean, that just makes delays even further, which, you know, Joe Ellis, I'm sure, is super psyched about. And I'm sure it makes him nervous as hell when he hears that Beth Bolin is pissed because she's, you know, just a few months away from fulfilling, like, the final requirement. At some point, someone's got to step in. And then it gets weird because Brother Bill wants to come in, and he's suddenly, like, entered the fray. And I'm not entirely sure what the end game for Bill is. He was a partial owner, and he sold back some of his interest in the team. So he doesn't have any interest in the team anymore. And so why?
Yeah, and he sold back when the team was worth, like, 20% what it's worth now, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, so clearly he's got some acuity problems of his own.
I mean, I'm kind of on the side of I would prefer Brittany Bolin to take over. I don't know anything about either of them really, but it's just she seems younger. The transition would be pretty smooth from a front office standpoint. It just seems like the line of succession from Joe Ellis to Brittany Bolin seems a lot smoother in terms of the transition itself. To go from Joe Ellis to Beth Bolin just seems like a lot of upheaval, a lot of uncertainty. Who knows what kind of franchise us as fans would end up with on the other side of that equation. At the end of the day, I'm kind of becoming disenfranchised or disenchanted with Joe Ellis's leadership and of the trust itself. And I'm not entirely convinced he's fulfilling Pat Bolin's interests at this point in time. I'd be okay with either, but I'm more leaning towards Brittany myself.
And let us not forget that it was Joe Ellis's keen leadership that brought us Josh McDaniels. He's like, man, this Josh, he's going to be great for us. He's gonna make it happen for the Denver Broncos.
Tim, why would you want a 28-year-old who has had no business leadership experience? I mean, she's got an MBA from a very good university, and now she's working at a global consulting firm. But Beth has at least gone through 20 years of a working life, a working career, and she has been in charge. She started her own company. It was a small business, but Joe Ellis's motive looks so tainted that it's hard to look at this from their point of view and think, yeah, this is totally on the up and up. The reason I'm going for this, the daughter who's going to give me the most time at the top here has nothing to do with me. It's all because we really believe she's the one to lead the Broncos, which is bullshit.
Yeah, he's making millions of dollars a year. The only way he can untaint himself is to step down, remain on the trust, not earn any income from the Broncos whatsoever. That's the only way he can regain any kind of legitimate, I'm doing this because this is what Pat Bolin wanted. Of course you're going to drag it out because you're in control. To give up control, you give up control of the fact that you're not going to, you couldn't suddenly not be making millions of dollars.
And he doesn't have to answer to anybody. Nobody. He can walk around without any pants on through the hallway and he's like, what? Tell my boss what? What? I'm in my underwear. Woo! Like, no one's going to yell at Joe Ellis for anything, ever. So, he's a man who makes millions with no boss.
The only other thing he could do is to set a specific deadline. We've decided Brittany Bolin, or whoever, is going to be the next controlling owner, and it's going to happen by this date. And she has to do this by this date. But that's not going to happen either because the trust was so ambiguous. It's just FUBAR. He needs to become out of the picture either financially or completely from a perspective of when is the next time I want to go through this?
If we're waiting for Brittany, sure, she might be the owner for longer, but it's going to take longer for her to start. We're going to have Joe Ellis and this disaster for who knows how long.
I predict that if the NFL gets involved, Joe Ellis, the clock starts ticking. And it's not going to be 10 years. It's not going to be even 5 years. Once the NFL gets involved, there's not going to be, we're going to just let this process work out. It's going to be, there's going to be time. There's going to be a set time where this is going to be resolved. And of course, the courts could still change all that anyway, so who knows.
But. Well, you're right. Well, the NFL won't allow a trust to just operate in perpetuity as owner. It's like it's in the whatever bylaws and all this crap. I read all that. Eventually, they are going to have to select someone, and if Pat set forth conditions that the most qualified heir gets to take it on, then it would likely be Beth. I mean, she's checked the most boxes of any of them.
The trust created the criteria in 2015, and they created the criteria and they said, just because you meet the criteria doesn't mean you qualify as owner. But
mm-hmm. That right there is the Johnny Bolin clause.
Right.
Yes, that probably has nothing to do with Beth, even though Beth was the first victim to it.
Right. Exactly.
It was actually written for Johnny Bolin.
But the other thing that's interesting, and this is what, it's in the court because Bill Bolin, is arguing that the trust is not operating the way Pat Bowlen intended. But we end up with what Beth is saying her dad wanted her to do versus what Joe Ellis is saying Pat wanted him and the trust to do. Still, we really don't know because Pat Bowlen has Alzheimer's, so we can't ask him. And so it's left to be what Joe Ellis says versus what Beth Bowlen Wallace is saying, and we don't really have concrete evidence to go by. And it might come down to, when did we really know that Pat Bowlen was diagnosed with Alzheimer's and it was making some sort of impact on his decision making? And depending on when that is, does that impact some of the things that the trust is doing? Were they setting some rules and setting forth this criteria when Pat Bowlen really couldn't be involved whatsoever? And according to Woody Page, now of the Colorado Springs Gazette, Pat Bowlen did indicate to him that Brittany was the kind of the front runner for potentially being an owner down the road. But this would have been 9 years ago. Beth Bowlen Wallace has claimed she and her dad essentially set out this path for her to work with the Broncos so that she could begin working toward fulfilling the criteria to be an owner, which would indicate that, of course, he was happy with her also pursuing it because he just wanted to make sure one of his children took over the team at the time that they were able and that he was incapable. So
that's how she was able to get a position as the director of special projects. I mean, she didn't submit a resume online like, oh, I really hope I get this. Like, very clearly her dad and her name had a lot to do with it. So if he had any qualms about allowing her to take over the team, he would have been like, "Yeah, give her the Johnny Bowlen gig."
Right. Petition that Bill Bowlen filed in court back in October. It was Pat Bowlen and Joe Ellis and Beth Bowlen Wallace that kind of sat down together and devised this position for her and what she would do. And then she held it for 3 years. And then again, according to her, or according to the petition that Bill Bowlen filed with the district court, 24 hours after she told them she was going to go back to law school, or she was going to go to law school, they terminated her position. So that's a very suspect thing to do if you're just following the wishes of Pat Bowlen, and any child who meets the requirements is eligible to be considered for owner. If you just kind of take their job away so that they can't fulfill the requirements, it doesn't look good.
Watch her go and get a gig with like Mark Davis and the Raiders, like just to be like, ah, I got it. Like, here I am.
You know? What? Like, Jess, you're onto something. That's what you should do.
Like, okay, I'm going to really screw the Broncos over right now. I'm gonna give this Bowlen daughter a gig, and I'm gonna give her a title the likes of which Joe Ellis will never see.
There's going to be a lot of special projects in San Diego when they move there this year.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Like,
she'll be co-GM with Mike Mayock.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Beth Bowlen Mox.
Maybe she'll be quality control.
Ah, the quality control coach. What do you think of when you hear quality control? I think of like human resources figuring out if people are in the right place. Like,
I feel like I do a lot of quality control at Mount Harry Potter.
It's like the stupidest name for anybody working as a supposed coach or even an intern. I think it'd be better to be called an intern than a quality control coach.
Okay. All right. Mystery question. This is very easy. Rams or Patriots? Lori.
Rams. Absolutely Rams. Is this who we want to win or who we think is going to?
No qualifiers. It's just a question. Rams or Patriots? That's it. That's all there is to it.
It's going to be the Rams. Sean McVay is going to prove that the young offensive mind can beat the seasoned veteran at his own game. He's going to prove that a couple of running backs, including a kind of chubby former Bronco, can can handle the game, and that Aqib Talib is probably going to pull somebody's chain or poke somebody's eye.
Old CJ should be making his way to Atlanta. I mean, he should be there by now on that bicycle of his.
That's right. He's riding from California.
Yeah, just get those legs pumping. Tim, what about you? What do you think? Rams or Patriots?
I'm hoping Tom Brady ends Sunday sharing something in common with both Jim Kelly and Fran Tarkenton, as in 4 Super Bowl losses. This would be 4, right?
This would be, let's see, 2 Giants and the Eagles.
And the Eagles, yes.
That would be 4.
So
yeah, you know, John Elway never lost 4.
Nope. Step aside, Fran Tarkenton and Jim Kelly, and come on in, Tom Brady. That's what I want to see.
Fran Tarkenton lost 4?
Didn't the Vikings lose 4 with any quarterback?
I think Joe Carr was their quarterback for one of them, at least one.
Joe Carr. Okay, let me see.
Yeah. Joe Carr, you might remember him at some sort of like Canadian Football Hall of Fame thing when he was very old, got into a fist fight on the stage with another elderly Canadian football
league. You're right. Look at you, Mr. History Buff.
Dang,
you just flexed all over me, didn't you?
Look at that. Ha! Yeah. So, all right. So it's just Jim Kelly.
Yeah, just Jim Kelly.
Yeah, so.
All right, well, step aside, Jim Kelly.
And Joe Carr. Perhaps you were thinking of Fran Joe Carkington.
Oh, dear.
You know what's awesome, though? The only quarterback to have been to more Super Bowls than John Elway is actually Tom Brady. So, you know, that's still something. Shows how underrated John Elway was in terms of just fighting, getting, competing. But
well, I'm sure Philip Rivers gets to go and watch. That's probably a lot of Super Bowls that he was at. Patrick Mahomes, I'm sure he'll watch. I'm sure he's there.
With his Pro Bowl trophy?
With his broken-ass Pro Bowl trophy. Oh, Lordy. All right. Well, here's my prediction. I'm going to say Rams. As a former Los Angelino myself, disciple of Wade Phillips, even though he blocked me. Please, Wade, unblock me. I didn't mean it. So, I mean, what's there not to love? I mean, you got to love the Rams. There's nothing to not like about the Rams right now, especially because they're playing the Patriots. On that note, this brings us to the conclusion of Something Something Broncos. Tim, you tell those daughters of yours good night from those of us here on Something Something Broncos. And sure. we appreciate that they let us finish the show.
Lord, though we have lost Neil Smith to free agency and Steve Atwater to the Jets, still we hope our beloved Broncos can bring home another Super Bowl championship and once again bathe in the glory of your light. Amen.
Amen.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Broncos.
Broncos.
Let's go, Broncos.
Broncos. Let's go.
I found your horse tracks topic off, you know, off topic here, Lori.
That is not off topic. That is always a good topic. What should I write about?
Ed Reed was on the radio with Bleacher Report.
Yes.
His quote: "If Steve Avoir don't get in, and I get in, I'd rather give my spot to him." I mean, that's.
You're right. That's fucking a good topic. Awesome.
The Raiders is a team that we don't care for.
Something, something, Broncos. With Lori Lattimore of Oakland, Jess Place, and Tim Lynch.
Yes, my master.
Get involved in the conversation at milehighreport.com. Incomplete.
We're recording?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, we've been recording.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Good, good, good.